need to ensure stocks are managed. We need to ensure that ecosystems are conserved. Finally, we need to give priority to the small-scale and subsistence fishers because so many livelihoods depend on them.
Hello, this is the Weekly Tradecast, a podcast brought to you by UNCTAD, the UN's trade and development body. I'm Sarah Toms. We're exploring how major events are shaping trade and development and how that affects billions of people around the world. This week, we're looking at how we can fight climate change by cutting the carbon emissions of our fisheries. The fishing industry is a vital source of food, and it provides work, directly or indirectly, for one in every 13 people on the planet. But there's a deep downside for the environment from the emissions spewed out by the sector's ships and processing plants. One recent study shows that bottom trawling, a common fishing practice, emits as much carbon dioxide every year as airplanes. To stay in line with global climate goals, how can we make our fisheries greener while also keeping people in their jobs? Well, joining me now to find out what needs to be done is David Vivas, a legal officer at UNCTAD working in trade, environment, climate change and sustainable development. As part of his commitment to protecting the environment, David has converted his home to solar energy. Well, welcome back, David. Tell me in a bit more detail, why is it so important that fishing gets greener? And how far along is the industry in meeting these global climate goals?
Good morning, Sarah. It's always a pleasure to be here. I think it's important for everybody to realize that to achieve net zero emissions by mid-century or the third quarter of the century, if possible, will imply efforts by all sectors. And net zero is very much linked to achieving the Paris goal of keeping global warming below 2 degrees Celsius at pre-industrial levels. So why fisheries? Because this sector relies heavily on fossil fuels. All motorized fishing vessels in the world use marine diesel and fossil fuels. The only ones that do not use fossil fuels are mainly sailboats, but of very small scale and subsisting fisheries. Mm-hmm. We have identified a range of emissions going from 0.1 to 0.5 of global emissions. Mm-hmm. That equals to 4% of the emissions by the food sector. While this doesn't seem huge, it's an important sector in terms of food security. It's a sector that generates food, especially animal protein, mainly consumed by small island development states. It's an important generator of jobs. There are more than 40 million people engaged in the fishery sector and aquaculture sector, so it's very much linked to livelihood. Finally, the fishing sector is sensitive in terms of sustainability in two levels. One, emissions, but the other is health of fish stocks and ecosystems. On the latter, we're not doing very well. 34% of all stocks are below sustainability levels or depleted, depending on how you want to call them. So we have to do big efforts in achieving sustainability in this sector. So it's a sector that needs to set a plan for energy transition and reduction of emissions. There is no such a plan globally. There is not a target for emissions reduction in the fishery sector. You find it in the maritime transport, you find it in tourism, but you don't have it in the fishery sector.
What are the biggest challenges then with decarbonizing the industry?
It's not going to be an easy transition. So we have challenges at three levels. The most important one is that technologies need for net zero are not mature, are not there yet. In other sectors, we have it, like with renewable solar energy or wind. But in the case of fisheries, we're talking about vessels that move and have an activity offshore, sometimes very far away from port. So they need autonomy, they need reliability. The closest technologies that can help us in the transition, not net zero yet, are two mainly energy efficient measures that are basically engines that consume less fuels, that emit less, smart fishing methods, vessel design, etc. That's already happening, especially in the industrial fishing sector. The second level will be the use of alternative fuels that can be used in vessels without retrofit or very low retrofit, and these are mainly for generation of biofuels, biogas, and natural gas. The third group includes hybrid engines, and there are only one prototype of a small fishing vessel in Norway doing coastal fishing, so it's very early. The other two that are very important are green hydrogen and green ammonia.
The two are very far away. There is no vessel on green hydrogen yet. And there is only one test vessel prototype of green ammonia for a tug vessel, not a fishing vessel. And green ammonia can have significant safety issues because ammonia is toxic. And finally, there is the all energy sources, perhaps the most important, wind propulsion. That was the way that we use for maritime transport for almost the entire history. There are advances in tourism sailing, you know, big boats of about 150 people that can do cruise, but not yet on fisheries. You have millions of boats using sails, but these are mainly a small scale and subsistence fisheries. And this is linked usually to technology poverty. So we need to also invest in a smart and new form of wind propulsion and sailing that could help us also to enable change for small-scale fisheries. Now, in financial terms, this implies capital, and there is also an issue of a business model in capital goods substitution in fisheries. Basically, you don't change a fishing vessel in a year. You do it after 20, 30, 40 years. When the vessel is not in condition to continue working, so we need to create the incentives in public and private sector to enable this transition as some vessels get older. So we start substituting them one by one with the latest technology. And at the same time, you need to build infrastructure at port for the new fuels and the alternative fuels.
Is this actually a developed country problem with the huge trawlers doing most of the polluting? Or are there also consequences for developing countries too?
No, I think it's a problem for both developed and developing countries. The largest fishing fleets are found in Asia and in Europe. So those are the regions that will have to do the biggest efforts. Also, they do the lion's share of the fishing in terms of catch and also of consumption. Those are the regions that consume more fish. When we're talking about sustainability objectives, I think we need to understand that this is a complex equation. One element is to reduce emissions. The other two are the sustainability of stocks. And the number three is the conservation and restoration of marine ecosystems. If the three don't go together, you will have suboptimal results. Now, sometimes by achieving one, you don't necessarily support the others. One of the areas where we have obtained better results in reducing emissions has been through energy efficiency measures. This means in practice that you may substitute, let's say, 10 boats for one big one. So you go even further into industrialization. But at the same time, with the bigger boat and energy efficient measures, you have lower emissions per catch. And at the same time, you displace the small scale fishers. Also, many of these vessels, if they do not increase capacity, could be within the limits where we have, but if they increase capacity, we are undermining the other sustainability objectives. So when setting targets for reducing emissions and for energy transition in the fishery sector, we cannot forget the environmental sustainability objectives in stocks and in marine ecosystems.
As you've been telling me, David, it's not a straightforward transition, but what kind of system needs to be in place to ensure that it's actually happening?
First, we need to devise a global strategy for the decarbonization of the sector. This is a sustainability, global sustainability problem. Second, we need to develop national energy efficiency and transition plans so countries can do the best they can at the national level to comply with these targets. We need to invest more in energy efficiency, but especially in research and development for alternative fuels, alternative engines, and alternative vessels that we don't have today. We cannot create increasing capacity of the fishery sector. We need to ensure stocks are managed. We need to ensure that ecosystems are conserved. We need to be coherent. Finally, we need to give priority to the small scale, to the artisanal and subsistence fishers, because so many livelihoods depends on them.
Thank you very much for that, David. That was UNCTAD's David Vivas, who was this week's guest. Tune in to the weekly Tradecast next week and every week for more insights on the most pressing issues around the world of trade and development. There's even more on our website, unctad.org. I'm Sarah Thomas in Geneva. Goodbye for now.